Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood, and with me is John Paul Basham.
Hello.
And we are really excited to be back with you. It's been a couple of weeks with travel and craziness. You guys don't want to hear anything about that, but we're really pumped to be back in the studio recording more podcast episodes. I tell you what, one of the things that both of us have been out with over the last several weeks is an event called Youth Pastor Summit. And that's an event we do in partnership with Brent Crow and Jay Strack and the guys over at Student Leadership University. Great group of people. And it's been fun to be at these events because as we've been out, we've met several of you who listen, who've come up and been really, really kind and said, hey, I love the podcast, love what you guys are doing. It's really helpful. And that's been exciting for us because, one, it's feedback, and we beg for feedback every time we're on the air with you, but it's also just good to know that it's helpful. That is the goal of this podcast. If this is your first time listening, our hope and our goal, our desire in this thing is to serve you in your mission of making disciples by providing you with student ministry, leadership-related content that'll help you right where you are right now, regardless of your context in student ministry. So serving you, regardless of context, regardless of where you are in the city or in an urban environment or big church or small church or medium-sized church, whatever, we want to serve you. And it's been cool over the last month as we've been out at Youth Pastor Summit events to hear that is actually happening. So we're excited.
Yeah, it's been awesome to connect with you guys.
Yeah. So
it's kind of weird for me a little bit every time somebody comes up and says, man, you're on the podcast. I love it.
Yeah.
But it's great to hear that you guys are listening and find value in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we want to continue to have you find value in it. So as
indeed,
part of that, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. You can find me at Ben Trueblood. You can find John Paul
at John Paul Basham.
There you go. And so hit us up. Let us know what you would like for us to talk about. If there are some specific topics that you would like us to cover, we want to know those. And we want to be able to serve you the best way that we can. If you were one of those people that came up and gave us said some really kind things at one of these events, and you haven't yet headed over to iTunes to give us a positive rating and review, go ahead and head that way. And if you didn't say something to us, we would love to have your review posted on iTunes. Well, let's jump right in. I'm super excited about the topic today. It's something that is a really important part of student ministry.
That's maybe a lens that a lot of student pastors don't look through, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it helps to answer the question, man, how do I avoid students leaving the church when they graduate? You know, that's an issue that a lot of people, you know, we hear the percentages and we hear these statistics, and are they accurate? Maybe, maybe not. One thing I know about statistics is you can make them look any way that you want them to look.
Yeah, you can pull any 400 kids you want and get the kind of answer you're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. But what we do know is that there are a large group of students who don't stay connected to the church after they graduate.
For sure.
And part of that is related to our topic today. We're going to be talking about how to help your students develop a love for their church. Not a love for the stuff that you do, not a love for attending, not a love for being in the doors, though those things are good and we want them there.
Yeah. Or a love for the personality on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to develop students who love their church. And so we're going to That's the topic today. Super excited about it. So we'll hit it right away. The first thing, and this may sound, even as John Paul and I were planning this episode, it sounds almost elementary to say this, but it's true. Your students will develop a love for the church in conjunction with and while they are developing a love for the Lord. That you can't separate the two. They will go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think in kind of starting off the conversation, I mean, they're going to love what you lead them to love.
Yeah.
So are you keeping that in mind, that I want students to love and more than just their church? It's great for them to love their church where they are plugged in and be invested in all the ways they can be, but to love the church, the institution of the church.
Right. And so that's a good distinction to make, because we can talk about their church that has a lowercase c,
yeah,
and they should love that, and that's part of this conversation. But the old overall conversation is that as you are discipling the students in your ministry, that they develop a love for the capital C church. And I think both of those things go hand in hand. And this is what John Paul was mentioning about how it's a lens to view student ministry that maybe not a lot of people think about. Maybe not a lot of people that are in student ministry right now organize and structure and put strategy time into thinking, okay, these are the things that we're going to do. These are the things that we're going to inject into our ministry for the purpose of helping them love both the church lower C that they're involved in right now, but the church capital C that they are a part of through faith in Christ. And so as we say, a student's love for the church will grow as their love for Jesus grows. How does that happen at a practical level?
Well, there's a lot of intentionality. Like we talk about almost every episode, that there's got to be intentionality behind teaching what we teach.
Yeah.
And so the kids are not going to love the church, the global church, or their church before they love Jesus, mm-hmm, and are in relationship with him. They may feel comforted by the church.
Yeah.
If you're doing a good job of reaching out to those students and ministering to them where they need.
And they may love being there, and right, they may love the activities, or like you mentioned earlier, a personality or someone that's reached out to them.
Right. But until they love Jesus, they'll walk away just as fast as they walked in.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be something else that's pulling at us. We know that. The scripture says that temptation is crouching at our doorstep.
Yeah.
And so without a love for the Lord, there's no tie to the church. There's no reason to be loyal to it. There's no reason to be dedicated to it.
Absolutely. And so a student comes to that point in understanding and growing in that love. And all of you that are listening right now know that this is not going to be news to you. But a student grows in their love for the Lord. You grow in your love for the Lord through his word. And so that the process here is we grow in our love for the Lord as we know him, as we get to know him through his word. And then as our love for the Lord grows and we understand what it means to be his bride, what it means to be as a group of people, like we're in relationship with Jesus, then that love for the church begins to grow.
Yeah. That whole picture of us being the bride and of Jesus being our groom and what that looked like, student pastors, it would be incredible for you to contextualize that for them. In Hebrew context, not just in the way that we understand it now, but what did it look like when Jesus said, I go now to prepare a place for you? How did that tie into the culture? What did that mean to the disciples that he was saying that to? And what does that mean for us, for Jesus to have gone and prepared a place for us? For him being our redeemer, for him being the one that is, you know, when the scripture gives instructions for marriage that a husband's supposed to love their wife as Jesus loves the church, what does that love look like? To what lengths did that love go?
Yeah.
To purchase us? I mean, that's all
all the lengths.
Yeah. When
the furthest length.
When students understand that, and only until they understand that, can they really develop a love for the church?
Yeah. And so part of this involves you as student ministry leaders putting on your theological hat for a minute and diving deeply into this idea of what it means to be the bride of Christ and unpacking that, as John Paul mentioned, and some people would describe it as putting the cookies on the bottom shelf or making these Ooh. Theological concepts accessible to students so that they begin to embrace that idea. And as you do that, what you're going to begin to find is not only that they'll develop a love for their for the church as they understand who they are in Jesus with this specific idea that we are the bride of Christ, that's what the church is and is meant to be, what it means to be loved by Jesus in that way and to love others in that way. You won't just find that their love for the church grows. You'll find that the rest of the things that we so often teach in student ministry, these behavioral things, the purity issues and the attitude issues and how to treat people and parent, all those things begin to line up under what it looks like that Jesus loves us in that way and that we are commanded to love others in that way. It all hinges on that one idea.
Yeah. And then I think it's cool to step from there. Once you've got a student in that place, then you have so much in the New Testament. If we just look at the most obvious character in Paul, he comes to that place of understanding, of knowing what Jesus has done for him and what the call is. And then you see in the in Paul's ministry, what he did to serve the church, to grow the church, to plant that church, to raise up leadership and to nurture it. And so I think kind of a cool part of that conversation is, you know, the first part of that, leading a student to understand what that looks like, is the love of Christ. Hmm. But then that relationship with Jesus that they enter into that leads them to love the church isn't all just love all the time, because Paul was often writing the church and saying, bro, you're getting this wrong.
Right.
You know, yeah. You guys have to straighten up. So part of that love for the church is also allowing that institution of God to be a part of molding you, allowing the people that make up the church to admonish you,
yeah,
and to discipline you and to be in accountability. And that kind of just all leads into teaching students how to be in community.
Absolutely. I believe that people grow in two ways. Jesus builds us through his word. And Jesus builds us through other people.
Yeah.
And that's just what you were talking about, is this community idea, the idea of being in relationship with other people. A student, man, like, I don't like to be told, hey, you're getting this wrong. This area of your life needs to be fixed and correct. Like, no one does. No one likes to be told they're wrong.
Yeah.
But part of the discipleship process is embracing our wrongness, realizing that Jesus gave us all of his rightness, and then living out that rightness instead of our previous wrongness. But in order for us to understand that, people have to say, hey, you're wrong here. And being in community, being a part of a church, both lower and capital C, but in this instance, being a part of a local body, you can teach those students to embrace that community, and it can give them something that so many other believers don't have. And that's a group of people to walk through life with that will help them grow, that will point out the rough edges that need to be sanded down. Perhaps through other mistakes that other believers have made, they can avoid some of those temptations that they might experience.
So I think there's another level of intentionality with – I think a lot of churches do a pretty good job of getting students into some sort of Christian community, whether that's a Sunday school class, a missional community, a community group, whatever it is, whether it meets on campus or off campus. It looks different everywhere. But how do you think a student pastor can frame community in a way that strategically points to – understanding that this is the church, that this is the purpose of the church? It's not just, you know, I think we leave it in this is an 8-week Bible study.
Right. Yeah. I think it's done in, and we, you know, we default to this sometimes, but I really believe it's true. It starts with helping students see the vision of what those small groups are. That the church is about people, yeah, not a building. Mm-hmm. You know, we served at – you grew up in the church,
yeah,
in Birmingham where –
Buddy Gray, shout out.
Yeah, Dr. Buddy Gray. He would always say that the church is not a building. It's the people. And I heard that every Sunday for 5 years of my life and you heard on staff. Mm-hmm. And you heard it for a lot longer than that growing up there. But there's something about that simple phrase – that when it gets in people's mind in conjunction with what you're teaching and as you're driving them to the Word, teaching them to love Jesus and teaching them about that relationship of Jesus and the church, that one phrase is so simple. The church is not a building, it's a people. But when that begins to take root, students begin to understand that, hey, that this my church isn't dodgeball. Yeah. My church isn't Wednesday night. My church isn't this home group. My church isn't this Sunday school class. But in a lot of ways, my church is this group of eight dudes that I'm with in this group environment, whatever it is for you, Sunday school class, home group, whatever. That those are my people, and that we are meant to walk through this life together. I think in our culture, so teaching them the vision of that, and then also fighting against our culture today that drives isolation.
Yeah.
So students are more disconnected from each other than ever before, while at the same exact time being more connected than ever before.
But unable to dig in relationally.
Yeah. We are moving rapidly towards a time in our culture where the next generation will be able to communicate better through picture images and text and social media and online outlets instead of interpersonally, where we as believers – now, I don't want to discount all of technology. There are good things. Redeem what you can. But we as believers are meant to interpersonally engage and walk through life together. Our faith is not an isolated faith. Our faith is one that we are meant to do in person with each other, together, for accountability, for encouragement, for growth, for pointing each other to Jesus, for diving into His Word and understanding and figuring it out and wrestling through hard times, and you know, to hold each other's arms up when the other person is struggling and exhausted, and all of those, that we're meant for that. And our students buy into this isolationist idea that we only communicate through pictures and 140 characters.
Yeah. So I think a huge part of it is just teaching kids not to be afraid to be in relationship with one another.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of kids now that are afraid to ask, you know, somebody on a date.
Yeah.
You know, much less get into, you know, and that's, you know, that's going to be potentially a lot of fun. You know, that's kind of an exciting thing. But then to tell students you need to sit down around a table and just pour out your soul and be vulnerable with one another, because that's what accountability and Christian community and confession of sins and all of that is about. I mean, my goodness.
It's super awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awkward for adults. When you first start something like that, it is awkward for adults. I am in a home group at my church, and that's as a student pastor for so many years, I wasn't involved in an adult group because all of my time was with volunteer leaders and students and staff and all that kind of stuff. You guys that are, you know, student ministry leaders, you know the drill, right? We have very little time to be involved with in a group environment with other grownups. And man, like being a part of this is a really cool thing. Like we love it. We love being able to sit down with people and talk about what we're learning, but it's super awkward. And I, like, you can't just first week. Like the people that overshare the first week are the ones that you're like, oh boy, I hope they don't come back to this group, because it's just super awkward. There's no boundaries. It's every week is a circus. We don't have one of those in our group, which is awesome. Anyway, but it is awkward. It's awkward for students. So in teaching them to love and value community, how do you help them get over that barrier? How do you help them kind of break through that, break through the awkwardness? It's not going to happen in a moment, but how do you help them get through that?
Well, I think to answer that question, you have to define what community is, and an 8-week Bible study doesn't count.
Yeah.
So your students need to be in community that's ongoing, and that is in an atmosphere that will foster relationship, because that accountability is not going to be effective outside of relationship. Nobody's going to trust anybody that they don't have any relationship or any ties to, any commonalities with.
So if they're only together for 8 weeks at a time, that's not going to foster this. Yeah. And if they're only sitting next to each other in a worship service, not going to foster it either.
Right. So you've got to create that. And then I think the next thing is you have to challenge them to take some small steps toward being vulnerable with one another. And so, I mean, something that I've seen my pastor do with a group of men in a cohort is just say, and of course this is with men and you have to be careful about how you would apply this with students, but I just thought it was fantastic. And he just said, hey guys, every week as we get started with this cohort, someone is going to share 7 minutes of just who they are. And so you've got a timer at 7 minutes. At the end of that 7 minutes, he literally said, okay, you got to stop talking. You know, we got to move on. But everybody at the table at some point shared 7 minutes of who they are and why they are who they are and how that came about. And of course, you know, my pastor would always encourage you to be pretty open and honest and vulnerable. And maybe that's a little bit easier to ask a group of adult men just right out of the gate. The lesson that I learned, though, is he was very intentional about saying, we're not going to get anywhere until we're all willing to just kind of lay it out on the table.
Yeah.
And trust each other with it. And so I think whatever that looks like for you in your context, you need to lay out some steps for your students to be challenged and stretched more and more as they go on in this ongoing community, to put themselves in a place where they are trusting each other and where they are willing to say, man, I really did mess up and I need you guys to hold me to the line, you know, or I need you guys to encourage me or whatever it is.
Yeah. And so most often this will happen in a student ministry in a small group environment with an adult leader that's kind of guiding and facilitating and pushing them further in developing this community idea and getting them comfortable. So part of your role here, if you're looking to lead and inject some of this developing your students to love their church idea into your ministry, it starts with the people who are leading those small groups, that ongoing environment where you have smaller groups of people together. Again, more than likely it's going to be with an adult guiding that. And so you have to make sure that adult knows your vision there and knows the destination, knows where you're wanting to take students, that adult knows an appropriate level of vulnerability that they need to have.
Yes.
Keyword on appropriate. But
we don't want our kids to be scared of the church because of what their leader said.
My leader is crazy.
I think I want to throw up now.
But that leader does need to example what you want to have happen in the group. And as that leader does show some vulnerability and some sharing and has a level of openness, again, that's appropriate based on age of the students involved in the group, then students will begin to follow suit and they'll begin to think, oh, this is normal for us as believers. This is part of our culture. I think one of the biggest challenges you face in this specific piece is that we are conditioned as people in culture today is to not share. We're conditioned, again, to be isolated like we mentioned earlier, but we're conditioned to hold everything to ourselves and keep our secrets and not share anything that
and
could make us
look –
only
post the smiling pictures.
Yeah, that could make us – not share anything that could make us look vulnerable or weak. But it's the exact opposite in the gospel. It's the exact opposite. And so you as a leader of the next generation have a great responsibility and blessing to be able to guide students against the culture in this way, to be able them to see the value of being with other people and being open and sharing and getting the help and encouragement and love and reprimand, that godly reprimand that is needed. That will help them ultimately pursue Christ to a greater degree.
Yeah.
Without that, their growth is stunted. And the same thing is true for us. So those are some things that line up on the here's how you can help students love their church, both capital C and lower C there. But there are also some things to guard against. Like if you produce a bunch of like church lovers, it could go to extremes that you want to avoid. And one of those is that when your students walk onto the school campus or they're in a place with other believers, that they love their church so much that it becomes, we are the group of believers from this church only, and we don't talk to the other believers from other churches in the community. Like we are the whatever community church clique, right? Like this is who we are, and we don't do anything with anyone else.
And you guys see this. I know that you guys see this. Ben and I saw this big time at our Christian schools.
Yes. I would say this happens more so at Christian schools than it does in public school environment.
Right.
That it's like they fight each other all the time.
Yeah, and we do this and they do this and well, our church does more games and well, our church just preaches scripture all the time and you know.
part of it's funny.
Yeah.
To see what they argue about.
Yeah.
But it's totally unhealthy. You a part of this thing that we have to guard against in teaching them to love the church and to enjoy being a part of it is that there are other people outside the walls of your own church that also go to church in your community that we need to say, okay, what are the majors? If we can agree on those, then let's love people and reach people together. Yeah. There are going to be some theological boundaries that you don't want to cross. Obviously, there are going to be some major things. But what you believe about how the end times happens and whether you believe certain reformed tradition, these are not things that should separate or that we should lead students to see as separations in helping them reach their campus for Jesus.
And part of this just comes in the intentionality of having your students understand what the global church is.
Yeah.
You are all part of the church.
Yeah. Faith in Jesus, grace alone, yeah. Faith alone. So I mean, let's agree on the majors.
Yeah. So we're also obligated to some things, you know, in relationship with one another.
Yeah.
That you're in sin when you're competing and you're pitting one group of people against another because you're pitting Christians against Christians, which is exactly what Satan wants to happen because then no one's effective.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something that you're not doing – like I – we'll give everyone the benefit of the doubt here because I think it's a real – like the reality is you as student ministry leaders are not promoting this. You're not trying to get it to happen. You're not – like you don't set this out as a goal. Nevertheless, it does happen. And so how you react and respond and what you use as teachable principles in that moment is really, really important that will set that student up in how they continue to see the church later in life.
So here's something that might step on your toes a little bit. When is the last time that you partnered with another church to do something in your community? When's the last time you got together with another church to do camp or to do Disciple Now or to do a big community initiative? Honestly, that's not something that I did well as a student pastor. It was something that I resisted. But that's something that I regret now.
Yeah.
Because it's a great way to teach students that we are the church. And so when a community of churches can come together for the gospel, that is a powerful illustration of what should be.
Yeah. And there are a lot of times, like in a public school situation, where we would have students, and this has been true in every church that I've served in, where there are some outlying schools where there's one or two students, and they may not have classes together. So it's like, man, I'm living for Jesus all on my own here. Well, no, you're not. There are other believers from other churches that are there, and that's we need to draw the community lines. And help them see, oh, I'm not just looking for someone at my church. Like part of my community can be believers from other churches that go to school with me. And so that's one area to guard against. Another one that they need to guard against that you need to guard against as a leader that flows straight from that is that they begin to love their church so much. They love being a part of your church so much that when they go off to college or they graduate and they leave your area, that they fall away from church because they can't find another church that's exactly like it. So they get this idea in their head that my church is awesome and my church is awesome because of these things. And when they try to find another church someday, it's not awesome because they can't find those things there. And so they eventually stop going. So that's something to guard against. And it will, if you hear that, like if you're talking to college students that used to be in your ministry and like, well, I just can't find a church like ours back home. That's a tip for you to say, well, I need to go back to the drawing board and help my students understand more about what the church is.
Yeah.
Chances are that's I would go back to community and evaluate the community and say, okay, is my student ministry teaching them to value just this place, or is my student ministry teaching them to value the people and being in this with people? Because there are people to do life with in other places. And sure, the music may be different, the preacher may be different. But if they love Jesus and they love the word and they love community, then those – you can find those things everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay to have personal preference.
Sure it is.
And there's – you know, there are probably some areas of the world where it would be a hard time for me to find a place that I fit in right away.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, why are you going to church? You know, why does the church exist? What is your call as a part of the church, as a part of the body of Christ? And I think when even if a student is struggling with that, if you have built a foundation for them of leaning into those questions, then you can help remind them of those questions and help them find a place to settle. The other thing would be that you don't want your students to allow the church to become a crutch for them. So if their faith is based on what happens at church, if their evangelistic opportunities, any kind of missional living is centered on bringing a friend to church,
yeah,
if any Bible reading, any Bible study that's going on in their life happens only when they show up and walk through the doors of church, then they're obviously not in a place where they're owning their own faith.
Yeah, and man, you see it on Instagram every Wednesday, and if you follow a lot of student pastors on Instagram and Twitter and those kind of things, you see it. Who you bring in tonight? Invite friends and bring them here. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. You should encourage your students to bring people. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But if those are the only things that your students are hearing from you, then you are building within them. Evangelism and discipleship happens only within these doors. You're almost, in a sense, crippling their evangelism to happen outside and on their campus and in their teams and in their neighborhoods. If the only thing that they hear from you is, hey, bring your friends, bring your friends, bring your friends. Who are you bringing tonight? Who are you bringing tonight? It almost, instead of teaching them to love the church, it almost portrays this idea that you're just using your students for what they can bring you.
Yeah.
And that may not be the intention, but I think that's the unintended underlying consequences that students see if the only thing they ever hear from their leadership is, who are you bringing? Like, we're not here. We're not glad you're here unless you're bringing somebody. And that's not the case at all. And so that is something to guard against, is that the church becomes the place where all Christian activity happens. And if we're going to be really intentional about making disciples who make disciples, then we need to show them that that can happen anywhere they are all the time. And that's not at a lessening of being a part of the local body, but that's the local body enhancing what happens away from the church.
Yeah. And sometimes I think there's also good intentions in a student pastor just saying, I'm going to make it easy for my student to reach their friends.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put all these programs, all these tools in place, and I'm going to give my students some easy victories because they'll come in here and, you know, maybe God has gifted you with being able to draw the net and really, you know, clearly give a gospel presentation that's going to draw believers. But in that effort, I mean, that's kind of like a mom, you know, forever doing their kids' laundry and always cooking their meals and always paying their bills for them. And then they try to go out into the world and do their own thing. And they don't know how because somebody's always done it for them.
Yeah.
So it's just a part of discipleship.
It is. Know? And we, you know, as student ministry people, you spend a good bit of your time trying to help students own their faith on their own and not just treat it like it was something that their parents gave them. So like you are trying to help them see this isn't your parents' faith, it's your faith. And in an effort to do that, sometimes we lead them away from believing it's their parents' faith into believing it's their church's faith. And both are equally ineffective.
Right.
When we need to be leading them not to, hey, this is your parents' faith, so live it out. Hey, this is your church's faith, so live it out. No, this is your faith. Like Jesus wants you to live with him and breathe with him and be in relationship with him.
And I think something else that fosters too is the attitude that they go to church to get something.
Yeah.
You know, it's that consumer mentality, which we know 20% of the church gives all the money to the church. 20% of the church does all the service for the church. It's an old problem.
Yeah.
But I think that's one that can be fixed if from a young age we're strategically teaching kids and students that when they come to church, they should have a heart to serve the church. Which you can walk that back up through everything that we've said so far.
Yeah.
If they love the Lord deeply through a love for his word and in a God-centered and strategic community, then they're going to be driven to be filled with compassion for everyone else that's coming in the doors of the church and every ministry that's going on in the church.
They will wear you out trying to find ways to serve.
What else can I do? What else can I do?
Yeah.
But we've got to be strategic about that too.
Yep. And I mean, there are multiple times where you've looked across the landscape of your church and probably when you begin recruiting process for your fall small group leaders, you think, man, we've just got a bunch of consumers around here. Well, man, imagine what would happen if your church family at large started to see your student ministry, started to see their own children begin to serve. Man, that could really spark something awesome. That would happen in your church, and maybe a little revival of service could happen. And many of the revivals in history happen with teenagers and young people. And so them being an example of what it means to belong and love to a church and love a church in the area of service might spark a little bit in those adults.
Yeah. And it gives the students a picture of what real church leadership looks like.
Yeah.
Because then as they get a desire to serve, then you have the opportunity to say, okay, well, why don't you lead out this initiative? Whether it's just them or they're leading a group of people, there's a real sense of ownership that I think leans into owning your faith. When a student can – I mean, I'll never forget when a ninth grade girl stepped up to say, I want to lead this prayer ministry. And she started leading – seniors, juniors, sophomores, freshmen, middle schoolers in this prayer ministry initiative in our church. And the spiritual maturity that came from that in her life was astounding.
Yeah. That's awesome. So we are going to wrap right there. There's so much more that we could say about it. But this episode has been on helping students develop a love for the church by helping them love the Lord through his word, by helping them be involved in community, helping them see that the church is not a building, that it is a group of people to be plugged into for encouragement and reprimand, godly reprimand and grace, and experiencing all those things together as a group of people. Fight isolation with your students. It is there all the time at them. And guard against students valuing only their church and building walls around that. Guard against when the church becomes a crutch for them and believing that Christian things happen only at the church. Guard against that consumer mentality. And I believe that you'll be well on your way to developing a group of people who really do love the church and that will be leaders of the church now and in the future when they are no longer under your care. Thanks for listening today. This is the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Head over to iTunes, leave us a rating and review, and look us up on Twitter. Give us what you would like for us to talk about, at Ben Trueblood and at John Paul Basham, and we would love to interact with you on social media as well as through the podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.